outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey.
Well, this is one of my favorite mornings in Southern California. This is why I live here, man, other than the fact Sarah made me live here. But man, it's one of those foggy mornings, low overhang. It's burning off now, but I love taking a walk in the morning when the air hangs heavy and it's cool. And it's, yeah, we're going up for another hot day today down here, which for us means we're going into the 80s. So I know that's not hot for a lot of other people. I remember growing up in the Central Valley. By the way, Kyle's still with me. Hi, Kyle. I keep assuming everybody knew you were here. We kept on from the last podcast because there was a lot more about the scripture stuff we wanted to unpack. So we're going back to it. But so, Kyle Rice from Torrington, Wyoming is still with me in the house. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, Kyle.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I grew up where it was like this time of year, it could get to 108, 112, 115. And I mean, I lived 49 years of my life or 47 years of my life in that environment. What would depress me most is a 90-degree day in March. I'd be going, you got to be kidding. We're headed for summer. As much as some of you back there hate winter and snow in February and March, I hated the heat in March. And now I live down here where they call the land of perpetual spring. And we have our hot days. It gets up in the 80s and low 90s sometimes, but overall.
No, I was actually just talking to my uncle who still lives in the Central Valley. And it was going to be 109 yesterday.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Lived no, there. Please, no. Done that. Yeah. No, I like this a bit better, though. You have to put up with a lot of humans living down here. I like the wide open spaces of the Central Valley, but
true.
If it was only a couple of months, it wouldn't be so bad. But it's full on March till October. You can have some really hot days still. And
yep.
So I feel it for you. All my friends in the Central Valley, I feel it for you. Come visit. Once we get past the COVID, come visit and hang out together. Well, we were talking last week, Kyle, about scripture and about some of the stuff, and we didn't finish all the input. And I think this is so important. I don't mind. I had two sessions with Courtney. We did a Zoom session on it for an hour, and you and I talked about 20 minutes or so last week. But I think this is so important to me because I want people to love that tool in the tool shed that can really help them get this journey. But if it's a yoke around their neck that's gagging them, I get why people say, Wayne, I just feel like God said put it down for a while. And you've got to put it down to get the angry voices out of your head. You've got to get, if you've taken a view of God from scripture that's not endearing, even in the, I want you to do this, and that being an invitation into life, not God putting onerous requirements to find out who's really serious and who isn't. If you don't get that about God, then yeah, you'll never find scripture a valuable tool. But I think it's worth talking about because I get enough email people, okay, this is really changing my view of things. I'm going, good. It's why I recorded Jesus Land. That's why I did a Jesus story thing with my grandkids to help them understand. There's something beautiful in this book that can be a companion through all of your journey. It doesn't replace Jesus or the Holy Spirit or God, but it stands alongside them in supporting that growth into relationship. So,
no, I was just thinking about some of the different things that were running through my mind as I was thinking about the different proof texts and hearing a different voice. And I think that hearing a different voice is a really interesting concept to me because I love that this is so disruptive for so many people. If I would have heard this podcast 10 years ago, I would have been in a very similar position. Whereas, like, man, that's a straight up grenade in my world, and I don't know what to do with it. I have no idea how to handle that or where to go with that. And you know, honestly, the passage that's coming to mind, and I can't remember the text for it right now, but it's when it's talking where God's talking and he says that the eyes of God are roaming to and fro around the world, looking for people whose hearts are committed to him.
That's Old Testament scripture too. It's not New Testament.
And the crazy thing about that is I love that passage now because there's a rest in my relationship with God that I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, my heart is committed to you. Whatever that looks like, Daddy, I'm interested in that invitation and where you want to lead in that. But it took almost a full decade for me to be able to enjoy that passage. Because what that translated in my mind is there is a God who has this long list of rules, and he's roaming the earth, and he's looking for somebody who's doing it all right. And there's so few of them. There's so few people out there who are actually doing it right that will actually be worthy of relationship with him and are operating in a lifestyle that is worth his invitation. Even though I wanted to, in that time, even in that perspective, I wanted to be someone that God would enjoy, that he would want to be in relationship with, that he would want to use. And yet I was looking at my life and I was like, well, I definitely don't fit the proof text. Like I'm not operating, even though I tried the religious route and tried dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's and being the ultimate, in some regards, the ultimate Pharisee. And yet, man, I just didn't feel like I measured up. And so, yeah, it's interesting as I'm processing that, and that as you're talking through that, that's really what comes to mind as we're dialoguing about that.
Well, the completely word really throws us too. When you come at the Bible in a religious mindset, completely is completely.
Yeah.
And there's no one, if you're honest about your life, can say, I am completely doing all the right stuff. I'm or completely committed to God. I mean, you can say that, and I want to be, and I think that those kinds of scriptures leave people still outside of it. It's kind of like, well, that's not me, because my heart's completely his. Well, you know, sometimes I watch football, and sometimes I do this, or maybe it's not even sinful stuff. It can just be, I enjoy the world God's put me in. Somehow that's got to be wrong too. And the religious veneer is so paralyzing to people really catching what that means. I like that it's used in the Old Testament. I like that there's language of, you know, of David, that his heart, you know, was a man after God's own heart, which God affirms, right? But David had some severe flaws in his life. David wasn't perfect. Having a heart for God and being perfect is not the same thing. When you look at and I get that from the Gospels too, when you look at the disciples following Jesus, they weren't the wisest things on the block. They didn't always have the right priorities in their life. They were fighting over who got to be first and second in the kingdom, but they were his. They were following him. They were in that journey. And that's what I think we take our security in. It's not, am I completely right? It's not, you know, be holy as I am holy, because that used to be a scripture that troubled me deeply. And that's New Testament scripture. Because there wasn't a day of my life where I could say I was holy, that I didn't have a bad thought, that I didn't have a bad desire, even if I didn't act on it. And the ones I acted on were bad enough. And I had three brothers. So, you know, it was all that skirming with brothers. So you'd read stuff like that and go, and I was spending all my time repenting. Because in our world, one, Jesus comes again, one unconfessed sin, man, you're left out. That's the guy. It's not the sinner that gets left. It's the Christian who, they get left too. But it's a Christian with one unconfessed sin. So I'm always repenting. I remember crying before the Lord often because of some flaw in my life, and I beg him to change it. And the next day fall again. And so you beg him to change it, and he's not changing it. So he doesn't care. So I may not be his, and I'm repenting, and it's just exhausting. And that's that religious veneer that has ruined the beauty of a scripture. We got disciples who are blowing it constantly, but Jesus is still with them. Jesus is inviting them. Their hearts are his. Doesn't mean they got their performance. Doesn't mean they've been transformed yet. He's transforming them. And that would set us back on all that stuff of going, okay, now we'd see that in a very different light, where those are the enduring scriptures. God's eyes roaming to and fro about the earth to find those who are completely his. And then we add the perfection on that, and then we're exempted from the scripture and left out. And so we miss it. And it's just sad to me that we've taken something so beautiful and so powerful, and we've built a religion around it that's turned it into something disgusting and impossible to achieve, which is what it was never meant to be.
Well, and as I'm thinking about that and listening to this, and then even as I was listening to your conversation with Courtney, one of the things that came up was this. You were talking with Courtney in the second episode about God's will, and looking at that through like the conditional lens of scripture and the performance lens of scripture versus the grace-based, love-based lens of scripture. And man, I remember being so paralyzed by fear that I was going to miss the will of God for my life. And you and I have actually had a lot of conversations about this, and you've been one of the primary catalysts for God untangling this in my life and inviting me and Jess, my wife, into a different level of trust and relationship with God, because, man, I was terrified that I was going to miss God's will, that if I wasn't constantly performing and constantly had my ear to the ground, listening for any nudge that God might be giving, the Holy Spirit might be giving, that I could miss the calling of my life. And then there was no going back to it, that once that one little opportunity came, and if you weren't ready for it and you missed it, then it was done. You were basically, you had no access to whatever it was that God wanted you to do. And you were going to just kind of live a normal life until you passed away. And that was it, you know. Man, and I meet so many young people whose desire is to genuinely follow God, and they're really wrestling with what they were created to do, who they are in Christ, what it looks like to follow His will for their life. And yet that conditional perspective of Scripture is paralyzing to them. It's absolutely paralyzing.
It is, particularly on, we'll get to an email about that in just a minute from someone coming up from a different perspective. But from what you're saying, and I hear this scripture all the time from people, it's been drilled into them, that, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, and then prove out what the will of God is, the acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. And that's been taught and taught from pulpits, that there's an acceptable will of God where, yeah, you really didn't hit the mark, but God's not going to kill you for missing it. And then there's the good. Well, yeah, you've got most of it. You're doing all right. And then there's the perfect will of God. And the real, man, to be in the perfect will of God, which goes back to that complete thing again, which goes back to so much of the stupid stuff well-intentioned religious leaders have said to people. And I think it's really put on, because the will of God, if you go to Titus, this is the will of God. Your sanctification. It's about God changing me to be like Him. That's the will of God. We think it's, do I need to live in Austin or Memphis? Or if we're not supposed to be in Southern California, well, then God's total will is subverted if we're not here. And yet, and I've told this story before, we moved to Southern Cal because Sarah wanted to. Sarah had spent 25 years chasing the vision of my heart, and I felt like God said, it's time for you to chase hers. And I think I've said it that way in the past, but I think now I would hear it this way. It is long past time for you to chase hers, right? I mean, but Sarah and I talked about in the recent marriage conversation that we had. We grew up in that, the guy leads, it's his vision, the wife's the helper, and she's supportive, and she's going along. So we kind of, our growing into a different journey was, whoa, I have not done the one thing I think is most important for a husband to do. And that is help my wife be all that God's called her to be. It's not her serving what I want to do. It's me serving the passions in her heart. And she wanted to move here. And this is the last place I would have moved. Not Thousand Oaks. Thousand Oaks is lovely where we live now. Sarah moved us to Oxnard, which is as ugly a city as it sounds like. And I mean, it's still in Southern California. Temperatures are great. I love the climate there. But man, I did not want to live in anything that looked like LA metropolitan, you know, 101 freeway packed with cars, can't go anywhere. Sarah moved us here. And because God just said, let Sarah decide, I want you to go. And I didn't tell Sarah that. I just, as we were talking, I kept leaning into whatever she was letting me know. That's where she was interested. I go, that sounds right to me. That's what I was saying to her. And it wasn't sounding right to me because Wayne's excited. It's sounding right to me because that's God told me to follow where you wanted to go. So we move here. And if we don't move here, I don't meet Brad. If I don't meet Brad, God's journey doesn't happen. You know, the shack doesn't happen the way it happened. There's so much in my life that I say, oh my gosh. But if we'd move somewhere else, would God have had another Brad, a different? Yeah. I mean, God's resources are limitless. And we look back and say, oh, what would have happened? I love Narnia on this, C.S. Lewis, when he always just said, Aslan always looked when they go, oh, what would have happened? Hey, what would have happened is never ours to know. It's what is happening and what does happen. And God lives in the reality of the choices we make. And there's no choice like that we can make that's going to undermine God's work in us. I mean, even David, you know, cheats with Bathsheba, kills her husband in battle, and God's still working with him and working with that child born of not the first child that Bathsheba got pregnant with, but the second one is Solomon. Oh my gosh, the line goes through the woman he cheated another man out of. And you just go, okay, God, that's just, you don't hear that taught from pulpits often because we're trying to keep people away from making the big mistake, you know, like cheating on your spouse, as we did a few podcasts ago. That's a major mistake. That is going to impact the course of your life. Can God redeem you beyond it? Absolutely. But that's not to say there aren't consequences of it. And that's what I think people miss sometimes. So we're afraid of really crawling into that space that goes, hey, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. I used to go to bed every night as a young child. This is even, gosh, not even as a, like in my 20s. I mean, like in my teens, thinking all the ways I failed God that day and repenting. Because that's what I was taught to do, unconfessed sin. Just, you know. Yeah. Now I don't find myself doing that a lot. God knows when I screw up, mess up, and say the wrong thing or get the wrong motivation out of my heart, I just go, God, I want your will. I want your way. The whole idea of repentance to me is, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sick, little, no good for nothing. I promise I'll never do it again. To me, it's not repentance now. It used to be. Repentance now is, God, you know I don't want to be that way. I want you to change me. Would you change me to live more like you in the world? And I don't lay down my head at night on my pillow going, how have I failed to live up to be holy as I am holy? I don't do that anymore. I lay down just going, oh man, look at what God did today. I discovered that, saw that. This seemed to have moved a little bit over days, not every day something moves, but
yeah.
And I treasure now be holy as I'm holy, not as a command to follow, but as an invitation from the Father I love. Be holy as I'm holy. Come, keep coming. Keep coming. And I think my heart is his, but could I say it's completely his? I'm committed to that. But I demonstrate every day that I've not arrived at any place that would say, yeah, I'm completely his. But I think we can be in our heart even if we're not yet in our performance. I think that's what the cross was about. God looks on the heart. Even Peter, he knows. He knows he's going to deny him that night. He knows. And yet he said, I've already prayed for you that your faith fail not. They didn't teach us that in Sunday school either. It's if you deny me before men, I'll deny. That's the verse the Jesus of the Sunday school I went to would have pulled out. If you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you. No, yep, he says to Peter, I've already prayed for you that your faith fail not. You return again and strengthen your brothers. I've already passed the failure. You haven't even committed yet. And that's the God we need to want to. Otherwise, we're committed to this. I'm rating my life every day on my perfection, which will absolutely kill you. Or trying to make a decision. If I'm supposed to go to Memphis and I go to Austin, everything ends. Oh my gosh, I have blown it. And I think sometimes God really is, Wayne, go live wherever you want to live. I don't care. I just want you to live with me and I want to walk with you there. And everything I want to do in your life can be done here or there or wherever. And then there are some times where God says, I want you specifically in that place.
Yeah.
But if you miss that, he's not, oh, well, that's it. I talk about that when I travel. I mean, I pray, I get a sense of where I'm supposed to be. I go. Have I gotten that wrong? I think I've gotten a couple of those wrong. I get there and go, yeah, this probably wasn't what God had in mind. But then what does God do about it? We're going to have a horrible weekend. And no, he's going to make the most of it. That's who the God we have is. And he's going to make the most of it in my heart. I may have gone for less than great reasons or whatever, but he's still going to make good use of it because he's the God that is redemptive. And that you get from the whole of Scripture. He's not the God just sitting and pouting. Psalm 78, where the one he tells the kids to teach, the parents to teach their kids who God is, the whole psalm, it's a long one. It's all about human failure and God's redemption. It's all about God's faithfulness in the midst of man's unfaithfulness or humanity's unfaithfulness. That the Bible schools you in that too. You're not going to get it all right. You don't have to. That's not what his bent is. He just wants to keep you inviting you into that reality that will make you the fullest human being God made you to be. Lindy wrote me this, though. This is what I want to get to on the conditional thing. She said, how do I process these verses written under the old covenant within the new covenant, since all of the verses below show a condition of what we do, and the new covenant is all based on what Christ did for us, the gift of righteousness, which means to me that it is all included in the gift of righteousness in Romans 5, 16 through 18. But what she quotes is Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice to understanding, and if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And it goes on. And she goes, what do you do with those verses? And again, if the religious veneer is this is a performance test, the scriptures will kill you. If I don't, yeah. I don't read them as a performance test. I read, boy, if you treasure my words and if you search for them as silver, that's I want because I want his words. I'm going to do that. And it's not if I do that, I earn them. I think that's where we got the conditional thing confused. It's like, if you're not going to go cook dinner, you're not going to eat dinner. It's not the eating dinner is not necessarily, oh, okay, I'll give you dinner because you tried to cook it. That, and that's how people have seen these weird verses. But it's conditional. There's so much in God. If you follow me, these things will happen. And if you don't follow me, then they're not going to happen. It's not going to change my love for you. It's like the prodigal yeah. son, right? Still loves the kid.
Yep.
The kid's not living in God's love. He's not living loved, but he's still loved. And so I'd say that to Lindy or to others who wrestle with the same conditionals. And I would say this, I wouldn't worry about the conditionals. If you're really into that religious veneer conditional thing, I wouldn't. Old Testament, you can say, well, Jesus is our righteousness and he died for us. And now God's made us new. And so you can say, which some do, so these scriptures don't apply to me anymore. My goodness, I read Proverbs about the adulterous woman always beguiling us into sin and captivity and darkness. That woman's still in the world today. That false mm-hmm. wisdom, human, she's still around. And wisdom, this woman that sets her table and waits and calls out on the street corner, and she's still there too. That wisdom of God personified by Sophia in the shack, that wisdom of God is still available to us. And if you don't seek that wisdom, you won't find that wisdom. And it's not because God doesn't like you and hates you and he's not going to share his wisdom with you because you didn't seek it hard enough. That's not how to read these scriptures. It is, though, when I wake up today, God, show me yourself. When I read through the scriptures, God, let your wisdom, I want to see your wisdom here. I want to see what you're doing and saying. If we seek it, we will find it. If we don't seek it, you're just not going to find it. You know, it's just going to go away on you. But if you're really worried about the old covenant, new covenant, the new covenant, then get into John 15, where Jesus himself is saying, if you abide in me and I abide in you, if you yeah. remain in me, if you keep my words, if you love me, if you, there's a whole lot of conditionals in that statement that you can read. Now it's new covenant, so it's Jesus talking. And if you want to put the same religion, Jesus talking about performance, he's not talking about performance. He's talking about life. If you remain in me, if you remain in my words, if you're growing to listen to follow me, then you'll know how to live and you'll reap the rewards of that living, the fruitfulness of it, the joy of it, that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full, which is John 15 as well. So he's inviting us into something that's joyful and alive. And it's not just, well, God loves me, so he's just going to give me everything good because he doesn't require anything of me anymore. Well, it's not requirements for approval. But it is the trailhead to follow into the life you want. And if you don't follow the trailhead, you're not going to get there.
Yeah.
You're going to miss it. And it's not punishment for being bad. It's not performance. It's simply the reality that if I seek him, I'll find him. If I'm after him, I'll follow him. I've got somebody written me lately and my heart goes, he's been writing me over years. In fact, I met with him once back east and he just feels like God's not real. It's all been a fabrication of his head, and he gives up on God, and he's just not going to do anything. And I've written some encouragement, because I think he says that to me because he wants me to be encouraged. Last time he just said, no, I really have given up. If God doesn't make himself known to me, well, I'm doing absolutely nothing. I'm not going to believe anything. And I'm going, is God big enough to do that? Yeah, will he? I don't know. Because so much of what I read in scripture says, you got to come looking. And if you've given up the looking, then how are you going to see? Because the wayward woman is so easy to find. The ways of the world. And I don't mean just the indulgence of things. I know the more I follow Jesus, I see through the formulas of the world in a way, whether it's success and how to build a ministry or a web. I see so many things going, okay, that's just the world's illusions. Do some of those things work? Yeah, you can do that stuff and build a ministry. At the end, will it be God's ministry? Because you've given all your time to branding and, you know, writing what you want to make yourself popular, doing social media so it'll go viral. You're working all that stuff. At the end of the day, are you about what Jesus is about when you've just worked to the formulas of the world? And that's what I want to say. In fact, I'm ready to do a series. I was going to start it this next Tuesday, but I don't know if I will this one or the next one. I really have got something that I shared in Tulsa that I've been discovering in the last few months that has just, it hasn't changed the trajectory of my life because it has revealed the trajectory of my life God put me on 20 years ago. Mm. How transformation has happened. It's given me language all through the book of John that I think just, it has captured my heart because I go, okay, now I get it. I get why that was the way it was. And I want to walk people through that probably just, you know, I did a podcast on January 1st. I just went and sat in my, Sarah and I were up with my dad and I just went and sat in a room and 15, 20 minutes talked into a thing just about my journey. And I had so much email from, can you do some of that too? Which I listened to it recently. I went, yeah, that's real different. The podcast, Wayne, the conversation, Wayne, that's one thing. That Wayne that was just sitting down to share part of my journey. So I'm actually thinking about maybe taking the Tuesday time and kind of inviting people into that journey because this, what we're talking about right now, this is the transformational realities. It's conditional, not in performance. It's just, here's a trailhead. Will you follow me down this trail? And it's easier not to. It's always easier not to. It's easy just to go on, I was going to say overdrive, but you can do that, do it religiously, but just go in neutral. And I'm just going to coast along and trust God's love, and I'm not going to be part of this with him. Instead of, no, I'm part of this journey, man. I want to seek him, not to earn it. I want to seek him because it's just like you, man. You moved away from L.A., and I haven't let go of the relationship. We've found ways to do it on Zoom, or if I'm in the area or you're out here, we find ways to connect because we didn't want to. But if we don't make an effort to have this relationship, you would still love me. I would still love you. We would still be good friends, in air quotes.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't enjoy the friendship if we don't seek each other out. And that's all Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about jumping through all these hoops, reading your Bible an hour a day and praying for an hour a day. And he's not talking about all that stuff. He says, just come seek me. Come find me. I'll show you the trail and I'll invite you in at the level you can handle that's important for you and going to work for you. That's why I'm not going to tell people, here's how you do it. Here's the rules of performance, because it's not that. But if we don't go, we won't find. If you don't seek God's wisdom, you'll end up with your own best wisdom. That may be okay, but it's not going to be the way God has called us to live. And I kind of landed on this because I see so many people the last 25 years on this journey. There's people who really get it, who really live the journey I'm on. And when I'm with them, I know, man, we're talking as peers on a journey. They get it. They're on it. And then I know other people who just persistently struggle. Never easy, never works, always frustrated. God's not doing enough. And I think they're missing these elements that I see common to the people who go on a journey. And not common to those who continually struggle. So I think the Tuesday podcasts are going to kind of begin to aim more in that direction going forward, because I want people to discover not a conditional life in God, but understand my part in the unfolding of a relationship with him. He does 99% of it. I'm okay with that language, but we're not uninvolved. And my heart's an important part of the process. Sorry, I preached.
No, that's good. I love the whole process that you just unfolded and just unpacked, because I actually was just having a conversation with two of my students about this, and we were just sitting down and talking, and they made the comment about how they wanted me to write a book about my crazy life, because they're like, how are you in your like mid-30s and have lived the stuff that you've lived and experienced the things that you've experienced. And I looked at him and I was like, guys, I graduated from here. I lived a mile and a half from where we are currently sitting. I was in the same boat, in the same environment, in the same small town as you guys. But I said, if I can be bluntly honest with you, I started to discover an adventure with God that was more than I could have ever possibly imagined. And it invited me into a life that I didn't think was possible for a small town ranch kid in the middle of nowhere. And they both looked at me and they're, you know, one of them, I love them to death, but I know that they really struggle with anything to do with a higher power, God image, etc. The other one is a little more open to that conversation, but they were both just super intent and engaged in the conversation. And one of the students asked me, "So how do you know that it's God? How did you even engage with those experiences?" And so I was able to share a little bit of my testimony and my journey with them, and it launched into almost a 2-hour conversation based on this idea of what you were just talking about, of this relationship that I experienced a little piece of the life that God wanted to offer me. And I'd tried several other roads. I'd gone down several of the other paths that the world has to offer, and I found every single one of them to be empty and my heart still longing. And so then there was this trail that came up, and this nudge that I felt from this God that I thought I knew. And with each nudge, my desire to seek it out more, to hunger for that, to understand those nudges, to recognize them more, to experience more of his love and his character, it became a treasure. It became something that fulfilled the longing of my heart instead of leaving me wanting. And that's what launched me into this. I want to seek him. It genuinely is a treasure. I would sell everything that I had to buy that field because I have found the treasure. And have I experienced the fullness of it? No, but I've gotten enough of a taste of it that my life is ruined for anything else. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not being, that there aren't distractions that pull me here or there, or that I don't get consumed with some of the doubts or concerns of the world or whatnot. Like, oh, absolutely. But I've tasted just enough to have the other stuff be ruined. It's empty. You know, even some of the like little temporary pleasures like that I've pursued, or like buying a toy, an adult toy, and be like, okay, this is going to be fun and this is going to fulfill a space in my life, you know, and yeah, it's fun. And yet it still doesn't hold the flavor. It doesn't hold the flavor of the invitation that God is regularly offering.
Yeah, and that's the thing I hope people capture. You know, so much of building our salvation around heaven and hell, and I just got to do the minimum so I don't end up in hell. I think it ruined a whole generation or seven of Christians who came to God, not because there's a treasure worth discovering here, but because I just don't want to end up in hell, and I'm going to live the best life I can so I don't lose that. But I don't really. My dad used to say all the time, people get just enough of God to be miserable. Because they got some of the rules, the conditionals. I'm going to try and do this. I want to stay on God's good side, and maybe I'll get a blessing, or maybe I'll get a healing if I really double down on being better. And they've missed this part of it. This part, this is a treasure. This is a joy to go on. This God, I mean, I know him. I know such a little slice of who God is. When we get into the big theological discussions these days, I just go, okay, man, I used to have such an interest in that stuff because I thought my intellect got me close to what's really right. I think now I'm going, oh my gosh, God has turned out to be so different than I imagined him to be, but so much better and so much more in line with what he teaches in the scriptures than I ever thought they meant back in the day when I was teaching them from a pulpit and hearing them taught to me in a classroom in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that this God really has become the treasure. And I'm like you, I don't think that means we can't enjoy our life here. We enjoy Sarah's garden. I enjoy a round of golf now and then. But you know what? I can't get into golf like some of my friends do who go to the range all the time. And their life is golf. And I'm going, you know what? It's a once a week distraction for me. I really enjoy, if I can, to get out and play golf. But I'm not going to be the best golfer in my group anymore, because it's just people who give more time to it than I. I've got other things I enjoy giving time to. And it doesn't mean I don't enjoy, because I think part of this journey with Jesus is I want you to enjoy the world I made for you.
Absolutely.
So enjoyment's not a bad thing. But inviting us into something that is more real than that. I mean, for me, a conversation like this or a conversation, we've opened up a little bit our house here to have some people over for dinner that we just sat in the backyard, sat distanced from, but shared dinner together and conversation. I'm going, you know, those conversations are what feed my life. They are. They're the best yeah. part of it. When Sarah and I are in that kind of conversation about God and life and what he's doing in us, there's just nothing better than how we celebrate him together. And yeah, so enjoyment's great, but I love the journey. I love the treasure. I love the pearl of great price, man. It's just worth, and it doesn't mean, here's the conditional thing. Oh, I got to sell my house and everything, or I'm not going to have God. It's not what it's saying, man. It's heart no. stuff. It's not performance stuff. And if we got that, and people got, I think even, you know, at the same time, not take yourself so seriously, but on the other, taking God seriously. And go on a journey. Don't just expect all this to come at you while you're sitting around watching Netflix. You know, it's not how it's going to come at you. God will show you stuff. I mean, I watch a movie or a series of little things come out and I go, wow, that's some insight. I'll talk about that more up the road. I mean, there's insights that come from that, but then it's following those insights. It's not just having them. It's, oh, what's God inviting me into here? And then pursuing yeah. that. And then watching how that changes you and then enjoying those changes. I enjoy what God has changed in me. I think I enjoy what God has changed in Sarah. I think Sarah enjoys what God's changed in me. I know other people, when they write me email about, you know, I've been there and spent some time, oh man, you, this is what you did for me. I'm going, okay, that's the Jesus part of Wayne, because that's not a Wayne I grew up with right there. That's yeah. something God's changed in me. And I love that that's what people see. But it's all meant to be a journey. And when we lose that, when it's just, like I said earlier, when it's just you and your human performance, it's just your intellect about scripture and your human performance, just know you've missed the gospel. When it's about your performance, that if I do this, God will like me more, you're off the gospel. It's just not the way it works. But it is a God not only that I love, but that I'm learning to follow, because it's in the following that my life changes. It's in the following that grace comes. Even if it's just a little, and for me it always is, it's not a 15-year plan. It's the next no. it's the next rock in the pond. Put your foot here. And then when you go there, and people who don't go, I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what's beyond that. And going, you know what? Just take the step. You'll get across this creek if you just take the next step on the next rock, because he knows the way to get you across. But if yeah. you're going to stand on the other side and say, I'm not going until I completely see how this works out, I'd never have gone on any of the great journeys of my life, because all of them started with, I have no idea where this is going to go. Yeah. And this could be so stupid and I could end up really annihilated. But then you find out that when you are listening to him, God is who he says he is. And he's going to take care of you, and doors are going to open that you never could see before. And I love that about him.
And I'm looking forward to hearing some of those Tuesday podcasts and some of the, I would even call them like a landmark, not even a trailhead, but a landmark. Because when I view, or when I think of this relationship with God, I really think of like backcountry navigation. Where there almost isn't even a trail, but I've got a topo map and I've got some landmarks and sometimes my compass is working and, you know, it's navigating through that. And I'm navigating this backcountry world where there has been some other people who have gone down a similar journey, but even then their journey isn't the same as mine. So they're not wearing down a trail right. in front of me that I can just be like, okay, perfect. I can just follow this and I'm good.
Yep.
But there's those landmarks, those signposts that are you familiar with the term a Karen? Are you familiar with a Karen? So a Karen is a pile of rocks, or sometimes wood, but usually it's rocks that people will pile up where the trail is gone. So it's in locations where there's lots of boulders or there's snow fields on a regular basis, that kind of thing. Yeah. But they just pile this little pile of rocks. And that's a little signpost to other backpackers of, yeah, you're still heading in the right direction. You may not be exactly on the trail, but you're still heading in the right direction. And that's what I think of this journey as. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the Karens that you're going to put up of how to like navigating this, because I know so many people that even hearing what the thought of you like unpacking this is like, oh man, like I'm just so frustrated because I've tried this 5-step plan. I've gone to this teacher. I've been to this and still don't know that invitation. Still don't know that love. Still don't know that journey. And so I just want to say to them, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and just pause. Because frantically running, sometimes when you're frantically running in circles, it's impossible for God to actually get your attention. Sometimes you got to pause. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Performance mode will not get you where you want to go. Neither will fear mode. And so some of that relaxing into a reality that God's got this, but then when he does make himself known, lean into that space, get on that trailhead, because that's what's going to unfold.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.